I'm Ryan Dombrowski.
I'm the Ninja Fat Man from Doom Ninja Podcast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Berlantiverse, Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor, Stargate Pioneer, my friends. They all call me SP, and your reporters for this episode 15 of season 5 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
What's the plan, boss?
To get through this episode. And Michelle.
It's not blackmail. It's politics.
I think one could look in the dictionary and use either as synonyms at this point.
I know, we're going to have to check the Merriam-Webster Twitter feed to see if that's true.
It's been pretty on point lately, hasn't it?
We'll have to look that up later. Hey guys, this podcast is recorded on Thursday, March 2nd, 2017, live on Geeks.live. And thank you very much to Sergeant Muffin. We are now on DC TV. So you can go there and pick up our great chat room on Chatwing. It's also at Geeks.live. One of the great things about the Starling Tribune here on Earth 2 is that in addition to being famous newspaper reporters, we all claim to be Earth One comic enthusiasts, right, Chris?
That's true. The problem is I haven't been reading any of the big superhero stuff lately. I've been reading the Power Rangers books from Boom and getting caught up on them. So I know nothing about the mega events right now, and I'm willfully ignorant and loving it.
It was a light week this week for me. It was well under $50, which had me scratching my head. It's like, what, did I do something wrong? Because it's not like it's an extra week in the month. I bet you March is just going to spank me hard on the pocketbook. And what about you, Michelle?
I'm really afraid to read the next Walking Dead. I mean, okay, look, I know, spoiler alert, death happens, but there are certain characters that, let's just say, they don't have a lot of lady characters. And one of the lady characters could possibly be dead. And that's disturbing because, like I said, not a lot of ladies in The Walking Dead.
I've heard it said elsewhere on the GunnaGeek.com network. In fact, it was over on Audibly Exquisite. I believe it was episode 84. I could be wrong on that. It could be 85. They were talking about The Walking Dead, and they were saying that the series should have probably ended at 100. Michelle, what do you think?
No, because 100 is the Negan stuff is classic. You know, I thought the governor was an interesting villain. Negan is a lot more complex and a lot more interesting. So watching his arc, that was definitely intriguing. But it is kind of getting to the point where it's like war after war, death after death. Eventually, I know Kirkman said he knows how it's going to end, but I don't know if I can take another like 5-10 years of it.
Kirkman indeed did say it was going to end on a happy note, but I guess happy is relative, especially in the Walking Dead universe. I'll be interested in hearing how it ends, but I'm not consuming it anymore because, like you said, everybody dies, and that's just not for me. I'm more for a hopeful thing, kind of like we saw this week on Arrow. Talking about Arrow, tonight we'll be discussing this week's Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as The Flash, as well as Supergirl, as well as Legends of Tomorrow, as well as over on the CW Seed, Vixen and Constantine.
So just a friendly reminder as we're kicking off this episode of the Starling Tribune, there's going to be a lot of speculation and conspiracy theories that we float out during the show that's going to be based off of information we've gotten from different interviews with the cast or the crew or different articles we've seen online. So be careful, even though we're making crazy theories, we might actually be right and inadvertently spoil you on some stuff. So just be warned, sometimes we're right when we make random guesses. And speaking of spoilers, don't forget that we do like to geek out and talk about some of the latest comic books that have come out. So every once in a while, we might slip in a comic book spoiler. So please consider yourself warned. We'll try not to do it, but it does happen because we get excitable.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GoingToGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Going to Geek Productions banner.
And after all that, it's time to dive into this week's main event. Michelle, go ahead and break down the Arrow episode for us.
Sure thing. This episode is Fighting Fire with Fire, Season 5, Episode 15, originally aired Wednesday, March 1st, 2017, directed by Michael Schultz. Also has done 8 Arrow, 1 Once Upon a Time, I Am Still a Oncer, so I know that show's kind of fading, but still loyal. 3 Chuck and 2 Charmed. And if the reboot happens and you're listening to this in the future, that is the original version of Charmed. Writers, Speedweed!
Speedweed!
Done 7 Arrow, 7 Haven, and has co-executive produced 36 episodes of Arrow. And Ben Skolowski, written 18 Arrow, 2 Flash, and has been a producer on 23 episodes of Arrow.
So, we usually talk about ratings, and this week is no different. We're going to talk about ratings. Now, we didn't have an episode of Legends of Tomorrow, but we did have an episode of Supergirl on Monday. It brought in 2.17 million viewers. Over on Tuesday, Flash with the big Grodd attack on Central City. It brought in a lively 2.87 million viewers. Like I said, no Legends of Tomorrow this week, but on Arrow, after all that great lead up to this week, it brought in a monstrous 1.60 million viewers, which isn't exactly the series low. That was last week. So it was just a couple of tenths of a point higher. Still not great. So we're kind of wondering, is the CW network owners, are they thinking, did we make a mistake in announcing the renewal? So stay tuned for news in the future. We don't have any this week, but news in the future on how many episodes season 6 of Arrow will actually have.
But on the plus side, they beat Legends this week since it didn't air. So they're not in the basement.
Oh, that's cold.
Chris, that's like a bye week in football. You can't take that. They didn't play.
I'll take a bye week win. I don't care. Everyone needs a taco bye. Those of you that watch the league know that statement.
All right. We'll have to discuss this later off air, Chris. In the meantime, we always start talking about the theme for the episode. So, Michelle, why don't you start us off with the overall theme?
Well, for a while, I thought it was going to be one of those titles where we're going to imply the theme, have to figure it out. But then Diggle comes out and says, well, when you fight fire with fire, you get burned. And it's like, oh, he said the thing. And in the episode, you see Thea being tempted to blackmail that council guy for Ollie. And then she's like, well, maybe we could manufacture all this blame and sully Malone's because he's dead. Why not? And, you know, Oliver's just like, come on, Thea, you do that. You know, we're going to get burned. You did that with Susan. Come on. What's going on with you?
That was classic Moira right there. Absolutely classic Moira. And I didn't really connect the dots, but she had that whole bloodlust thing going on last season because of her resurrection in the Lazarus pit. I didn't even connect the two. Now, apparently that's all done, but her mindset, her mental state also has that just because of who she is. I mean, your mother is Moira Queen, your father is Malcolm. Of course, you're going to tend to these sorts of behaviors, and it was interesting watching her regress to that point of trying to place blame on Billy. That wouldn't have gone over well with Felicity, by the way.
I don't know. She's kind of become an ends justify the means kind of gal lately, though, it seems like, too. So maybe it would. I don't know. I can't really get a handle on her character at the moment.
The ends justify the means to avenge Billy. She's not going to throw Billy under the bus to avenge Billy. That's not going to happen.
But if that's what it takes to keep the Green Arrow operating to do that.
I don't know.
That's one of those means justifying that end, maybe. I don't know. It's really a moot point since that's not what happened this week. But as they were saying it, I was kind of going, man, that'd be a real dark twist for Felicity if they did try this and she was actually okay with it.
Yeah, I don't think she would have been. That's just my opinion. I guess you're of the opposite opinion. I am firmly in camp Felicity would have been against Thea.
Well, Felicity at the beginning of this season would have been. I think the current twist we have on Felicity might not have been as she's pulling herself out of whatever she's gotten into.
Maybe, but she does realize she was played by Thea last week. She mentioned it like 2 or 3 times in this episode.
Yeah, but she says, you know, I sat here 4 years and I've seen Ollie, you, Laurel, Thea all fight the dark with the dark. So why not me? And that's when Diggle goes into his, you know, little speech.
Your superpower is empathy.
That sounds overrated. I don't want it.
So I don't know. Chris has a point. Maybe she might have. Oh, that would have been an interesting scene to watch.
Well, we do have to take a look at both of them as they go forward, because this wasn't Thea's last episode. I know we talked about her having a reduced episode account, but I don't think this is the last time we're going to see her this season. So it'll be interesting now that she's out of the mayor's office, what she actually does. Like, is she going to go align herself to Talia? Because in the preview, spoilers, in the previews for next week, Talia comes back into modern time. So Thea and Talia could hook up and reconstitute the league.
I think Thea's going to die by the end of this season, is what I'm starting to think now, as we've seen the reduced episode count for Willa Holland and things like that, and where they seem to be struggling at times to figure out what to do with that character. I think that could be one of Prometheus' final actions is, hey, I'm going to kill what's left of your family. Here you go.
Because here's the thing. She says she wants to walk away from the violence. She walked away from being speedy because of the bloodlust. Now she wants to walk away from the violence of being in the mayor's office. So she's kind of going to go on like a little spiritual walkabout. And she says this line after the limo accident where she turns to Ollie and says, I'm never riding in a limo with you ever again. And it's like, oh, no, no, don't say that.
Oliver does have a bad history with limos. I mean, the whole thing with Felicity, she got shot in the limo. And then the whole thing with Moira, she was killed after a limo ride. So yeah, limos and Ollies, they don't mix very well. Maybe he should ride around in a tank.
Those aren't cheap, though. And Oliver Queen's broke. And Star City's probably pretty close to broke. Those glass bills, man, we talk about every week. They have to pay to replace all that glass. They're broke.
They are indeed. Talk about broken glass. Let's talk about the fights, because the fights are what makes Arrow what it is. It's been that way from season one. They've waned from it from time to time, but this week we got actually some straight gun-on-gun violence, which we don't really usually get, but there was some hand-to-hand as well.
A little ironic considering the episode we had 2 weeks ago that we're now back to gun violence.
I thought about that. It's just wiped from my mind. You just brought that back forward. And yes, indeed, it is ironic. So the vigilante, who at the time I was assuming was the DA still, DA Chase, attacks the limo. And I thought that was interesting how that went down, because the only superpower that they had was Detective Dinah. And she did indeed use it.
That was cool.
It's because she's a badass, guys. I keep saying it. This soon-to-be Black Canary, I like a lot.
I'm already calling her the Black Canary.
Well, she's not calling herself that. She said she still has a way to go before she's ready to wear that suit, so.
Well, tough. You're the Black Canary. Deal with it.
I can live with it. I'm not going to argue that.
She is indeed the Black Canary. And should she even be in the room?
That was a good one.
It was indeed. But that's not a fight scene. We do have, and this is what shocked all of us, I think. This is the big, oh my gosh, moment in the entire episode. We're going to talk about it right now because it happened right now in a fight. Prometheus versus the vigilante. Oh my gosh.
It was an intense fight, which was fun. And it helped dispel one of the conspiracy theories that some people had had. I think myself even at one point that maybe Vigilante and Prometheus are the same person. They're playing both sides to manipulate Oliver. The fight was intense. There was a nice combination of gun battle and ninja stars and just physical brutality. And Vigilante kind of gets owned.
Very owned. He gets pushed off the roof.
But he survived.
Yeah, he's fine. We didn't see a body. We knew he was fine.
Yeah, that says a lot about Vigilante. Vigilante moves pretty quick.
Well, and he took it to Oliver at one point in time, Vigilante did, so I'm not sure whether he was playing possum or something with Prometheus. I don't know. But remember, Vigilante's done a number on the Green Arrow. So,
This is a whole bunch of conspiracy theory. Now, Michelle, you've been running a list at the end of every episode on who Prometheus is. We find out who Prometheus is right after this fight.
Yeah, there's, you know, he pulls off the mask and we see that it's Adrian Chase, who's on the list. We did not actually take him off. He was still on the list. I was hoping that we would have gotten a little bit more clues so we could have been a little bit more like detectives. Are we going to go into this full throttle right now with Prometheus?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it?
Let's do it.
All right. So, yes, he was on the list. And the episode that threw me, because like if you take this episode I'm going to mention and everything else is like, oh, okay, yeah, we should have figured out that it was Adrian. The one episode that bothers me is when he brings back Black Siren, because he knew about the doppelganger and he knew how to go into Star Labs. And it's like, are we supposed to assume that he got that information from Artemis? And if so, how? And then it's like, that's what threw me, is like how he would have found that out without doing some serious legwork. Because I really don't think Artemis knew that much about how things worked after 2 months. Because even Renee, who'd been there, was like, oh my gosh, aliens? Oh my gosh, this. So what do you guys think before I keep going?
I was totally bought in that Chase was the vigilante. And this was just a major shock to me. So I'm kind of in shock mode and can't really analyze it well. Chris, what do you got?
I kind of like the twist of taking what we know is established canon, which is Adrian Chase is the vigilante, and kind of turning it on its head. I was kind of thinking that maybe he's got a back door into the computer system or something that Felicity hasn't found or something like that. And maybe that's how he found out about Black Siren and some of the things that the Arrow has done between season one and now. I thought that was a possibility. In regards to the reveal, I liked who it was. I kind of wish they had drawn it out a little bit longer and teased us a little bit more with the reveal for Prometheus. And then at the end of the episode, I realized, oh, I know why they did this week, because we're going on a hiatus for a week. This was the nice little, here's a little jolt to your system before we go on a break for a week to keep you intrigued to come back next week. So while I kind of wish they had stretched out that mystery a little longer, I understand why they did it and I'm okay with it.
The promo for next week, which played right after this episode was over on CW, has Chase saying a few lines, which I think are relevant here. And one of which is, you don't even know what game I'm playing. Supposedly he's saying that to Oliver. It didn't show who he's saying it to. And yeah, I have no idea. This is what's his modus operandi? I have no idea at this point. This is a whole new ball game, and it sets up the rest of the season very well, in my opinion. This season is just as well done as season two, with the exception of the gun episode. And I am really enjoying it. And unfortunately, the ratings don't show it. So,
Okay, first off, the whole backdoor into the computer thing that Felicity doesn't know about, that could have played up until she had Pandora. Because Pandora is like all powerful, and Felicity getting the smackdown on that way, that would just undermine the fact that she's Overwatch. So I have issue with that. And here's the thing, becoming a DA isn't easy. And so he's supposed to be Claiborne's son. And how do you drop off the grid, become a super ninja in 4 years, come back and become a DA? So I'm wondering if he's actually the real...
Laurel did it.
No, Laurel's not a ninja.
She learned how to box in 1 week and then became a competent fighter for the rest of the time. I'm being a little facetious here, I realize.
So I'm wondering, is he the actual Adrian Chase? Did he take over somebody's identity who actually went to law school and worked to become a DA? And that's how he was able to spend 4 years, become a super ninja.
So I don't remember, for Adrian's backstory, had he been in Star City prior to this year, or had he just come in at the end of last season, basically, character-wise? We obviously weren't introduced to him. Had his character come to Star City at the end of the year or something to try and help make it better? I can't remember his backstory.
They didn't specify. We just accepted him in as part of the establishment.
Well, he came in the first episode as being the new DA. because the old DA died at the end of last season, so he probably got hired during the summer.
I just assumed that he was part of the existing office and he got a promotion.
So if he's coming from outside, the whole Prometheus took over someone's identity to come in, and that holds a lot more water because it could be, hey, I'm going to take out this dude named Adrian Chase and insert random DC city name here and pretend to be him and put in a job over in Star City because, hey, they're desperate for anyone in the law enforcement side of things and get that gig. I think there's potential that way. You could say he stole someone's identity, came in, and nobody's going to know any better in Star City because they're so desperate for law enforcement and lawyers and district attorneys and things like that.
Yeah, because he would have had to have some sort of public attorney and law degrees and everything like that. So that to me sort of makes sense. Because getting a law degree and becoming a district attorney, of course, we don't really see him work in this crime riddled city. We really haven't seen him be the district attorney much besides covering up for Ollie. But this is a lot of work for him. So yeah, that's why I'm wondering if he's really Adrian Chase lawyer.
Lots of possibilities here, which I'm sure everything will be revealed in the final handful of episodes that we have left. Is there anything else you want to talk about the reveal of Adrian Chase before we move on, Michelle?
Nothing that comes to mind right now.
All right, Chris, any last shots on that?
No, I'm good.
All right, so let's go back to the fights, and we have one last one to talk about. It is that the team, Oliver / the Green Arrow, had nothing to do with it, but the team stops Vigilante from assassinating Ollie as he's giving the press conference, blaming the Green Arrow for everything.
Curtis finally has his T-spares.
You mean his balls.
And they both go boom.
Oh, God, Renee and the ball jokes this week. Oh, I lost count. But it was so great to see him in the Arrow Cave working. And I remember tweeting out, you know, like, he's making his spears. Finally, finally, finally. I'm so happy. But it was cool that he used them. Okay, I don't really care about the science behind it. But anyway, one of his T-spears has like a special homing device. And they found Vigilante and they stopped him from assassinating. But it's like him, Renee, and Diggle. And his gun on...
Yeah, gun on gun violence. That was that whole thing because you had Wild Dog, you had Diggle, and you had Vigilante all shooting up. And with all of those people shooting, again, Wild Dog is the only one that was hit.
He's just got bad luck.
Diggle was hit.
Oh, yeah, but Curtis, from Flash.
Cisco.
Cisco gave him the armor to survive it.
Right. Cisco improved everybody's Kevlar.
Didn't help Wild Dog. He got shot.
I don't think Wild Dog's costume has been enhanced any at this point. He's still wearing that same hockey jersey and mask that it was originally introduced. Because remember, we had a news story earlier this year where they were talking about, you might not necessarily be all the way part of a team until you get your costume redone.
He's passed on getting Cisco improved Kevlar.
I don't think they've met yet, have they? Did they meet in the crossover? I don't think they did.
They met in the crossover.
They did?
Yeah.
I can't remember. That's possible. I mean, it's probably just a matter of time. It's going to be later in the season when you're going to see probably the rest of the team get revamped costumes. We already saw Curtis get a new jacket. I'm sure we're going to see Dinah get a slightly different Black Canary getup. I doubt it's going to be exactly what Laurel wore. And it would not surprise me to see Renee get his hockey jersey enhanced somehow. Even if it's just made out of Kevlar material and still looks the same. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever happens there will be cool. Unfortunately, Vigilante gets away. But you were talking about the technology, the homing technology on the T-spheres. It reminded me an awful lot, and you got to go way back here. You probably don't even remember it. There was a 1980s, like early 1980s, maybe mid-1980s, TV show called Automan. And it was all like this blue Tron-like stuff going on. It just reminded me of that because the blue laser light CGI, stuff like that. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go ahead and search for Automan on YouTube. I think it's there now, and just cringe a little bit because it's not done very well. If you were one of the ones that went back to watch the original Flash and you were cringing, you will definitely cringe at Automan. It's definitely not up to modern par there. Gotta ask you guys, since we're talking about this, Oliver, he lets out that he is blaming the Green Arrow. He's blaming the Green Arrow for killing Billy. And it's actually, I think, what he thinks about, but he's just made a whole bunch of problems for himself. Right, Chris?
I don't think he's really planning out the best way to continue saving the city. He's trying to get out of this current crisis because he's a little frazzled and a little scattered right now because there's been a lot of stuff going on. And I'm not sure that saying your superhero persona is a bad guy is necessarily the right way to go to do stuff, especially when you pause and realize that last season he was all about being the Green Arrow, and that was the most important thing. Now it seems that his mayoral position seems to trump that. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's just a different shift between the seasons.
You know, all this season, it's been about legacy and what's a hero and what has Oliver done. And there comes a point to where I know his divided focus has not been good for the city. And Green Arrow, okay, so we had the Hood, then we had Arrow, now we have Green Arrow. Hasn't really had that great of a track record. I mean, sure, he kills the bad guy in the end or puts him in a hole or whatever. But does he have a point? Is Green Arrow actually good for the city right now?
Yeah, I mean, the real thing that's going to be interesting to me is how do they resurrect that character, or how do they repair his reputation, I guess? Or do they always make him be a vigilante? It felt very much like The Dark Knight to me at the end, where Batman takes the fall for Harvey Dent dying, even though it's not his fault, to then try and give people something to rally behind. The difference there being Batman didn't actually kill him, where Oliver unintentionally did in fact kill Billy.
I didn't think about the similarities there, but you're right, up to the point where Oliver did in fact kill Billy, but he didn't do it willingly. It's not like he wanted to kill, but he was tricked into killing Billy. So there's a slight difference.
So I guess part of it is how much of this is also Oliver's conscience coming into play too, because it comes out to play in weird ways we've seen throughout Arrow. And maybe part of him is going, okay, I need to take the blame for this. It might not have been my fault, but I'm the one that pulled the bowstring, regardless of whether I knew better or not, regardless of whether I was tricked, it's my fault.
Or, okay, I know I'm crossing the streams, but on this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., one of the things they did with Daisy is they made all her bad deeds as part of this undercover operation. So maybe Ollie can be like, we set up Green Arrow to be the bad guy to flush out Vigilante and Prometheus, and now we're going to prove that they're the bad guys, eh?
Maybe. I think that's the way it's rolling because it's the way it has to go. But in the end, I question whether Oliver is still going to be the mayor of the city at the end. I question where the Green Arrow is going to be. They've really put a lot of pieces of the puzzle in motion to the point where I'm not sure where it's going to end up. This very well could be the end of the Green Arrow as we know it, as it's been built up, and we get a more vigilante on the run team next year. I don't know. This would be interesting.
It feels to me like they've tried to recapture some of what they did in season one, which is the Arrow is seen by most people in the city as a bad guy because he's killing people and putting them down. But there's some in the police station or in the police of Starling City at that time that kind of realize he's a force for good. We've seen the same parallel here as I cannot remember the current captain of the police force, but he's basically like, I kind of believe the fact that he wasn't at fault. You kind of see those seeds of doubt as to whether the people that are actually trying to enforce the law believe the fact that Green Arrow just straight up killed a guy on purpose, I mean.
Yeah. I'm wondering if this was like the 5-year plan, because Eric Kripke, who did Supernatural, said, I had a 5-year plan. And after season 5, he's like, I told the story. And then CW was like, we want more seasons. And he's like, I don't have any more. And that's one of the reasons why he left Supernatural, because he's like, I had a 5-year plan. Thank you. And it almost seems like they had a 5-year plan, because that would have made, like, season 5, he would have become mayor. Like, he wouldn't need the Arrow anymore, right? Like, he would have done the city right, and now he can be Oliver Queen and 5 seasons wrapped up in a bow.
But I don't think the character of Oliver Queen can let that go. He's like Batman in that regard. He can't put the mask down.
Well, that might be true, but I think one of the things that would have happened is you would have taken care of the city because you flushed out all the bad criminals, like the business criminals, you flushed out the drug lords, you flushed out the big crazies with the Genesis and with Vigilante and Prometheus, you've taken on those personal vendettas and you're able to close the book on the need for the Green Arrow. Not necessarily that Oliver can put the mask down, but there's no need for the Green Arrow anymore. Michelle, I agree with that. And I will agree with that with the point of the flashbacks were meant to be for 5 years. And talking about the flashbacks, we did have the resolution. It was anticlimactic because we all knew they survived, but we did have the resolution on the Anatoly being held at gunpoint in the hospital basement, which he didn't want to die in a basement. So, you know, let's call for a break and a vote so this can happen in a bar instead.
Lame.
I kind of get it. If I'm getting taken out, I want to be taken out in somewhere that's not a dark, dank basement.
Here's the thing. If they revealed in Bravo that Anatoly lived, therefore I thought they were really going to speed up. We're on episode 15. We haven't seen Kovar again. I mean, sure, we got his house, but we haven't seen him again. Oliver, I guess maybe in an episode 2, he might be captain, but he's supposed to be a Bravo captain with some sort of weight, you would imagine. And then he's supposed to go the island with, I guess that magnificent beard has to be fake. By now, there's no way he can grow that much of a beard in like what? 4 months?
Magic herbs.
He does not have the SP nor Chris great beard growth capability. No.
I just think the past 2 weeks, the flashbacks could have been used better.
Yeah. And I think the last time with them, the suspense that we knew wasn't going to be suspenseful. I think last time and this time were just biding time and bringing us back to Russia. But I think it could have been used better. And oh, by the way, we haven't seen Kovar since what? Before Christmas?
Yeah,
it's been a while.
I miss me some Dolph Lundgren.
There you have it, CW. Michelle misses the Dolph. Bring back Dolph. Another, it's kind of side story, but it's kind of a main story because of where it's intertwined with Oliver, is the whole Susan Williams thing. So she's actually back in action now, right, Michelle?
Yes, after getting awful. Thea, I'm sorry. You know, that was still cold, getting her, you know, ruining her reputation like that. She, like all modern journalists, starts a blog. But fortunately, Oliver asked his ex, not just ex-girlfriend, but ex-fiance, hey, you know my current piece? Can you, my ex-piece, fix what happened to my new piece? Thanks. Hey. And Felicity's like, okay, sure, whatever.
Whatever helps you sleep at night. Well, you know, the doctor did prescribe him a girlfriend.
I was going to make that same joke. Damn you.
I'll let you have the next one, Chris. Yeah, the whole Susan Williams thing being brought back together. She confirms to herself that Oliver is the Green Arrow. Oliver never confirms it. He sidesteps it. He doesn't talk about it at all. Susan is clearly in the camp of, Oliver, you're the Green Arrow, and you just called yourself out, so you got some things to work on. Oliver's like, but I need a friend, so can you be my friend? It was just kind of awkward at the end, but at the same time, it's nice to see a relationship be stable for him for a change, because I don't think he's really had this, except for when he was in, what was it, Hub City with Felicity?
I think that was the city. They all blur together. They all blur together for me. I'm bad.
Well, it's kind of convenient. I mean, they have to make them make up because of their previews. I don't know if you saw about the girlfriend being kidnapped. So they get them back together so she can be a damsel in distress.
Yeah, basically. The kidnapping happened at the end of the episode. It's just you saw Chase with Susan, but you didn't see the actual kidnap. In the previews, you saw her tied up and it looked like getting beaten, actually.
Well, I mean, it still would have been effective regardless of whether they'd gotten back together or not, because Oliver still would have felt responsible. And we saw this week that Oliver still has feelings for Susan Williams, regardless of whether the fact is that she broke off the relationship or not.
I think they fix the relationship in true CW fashion. Like, oh, so you didn't know what they did to me? No, but you fixed it. Yeah. So she's like, oh, you do care about me because you fixed it, but you didn't know about them. Okay. I'm not sure if I was Susan, I would stick around. I would probably...
She's not going to be sticking around.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, one way or another.
Fall in love with Oliver Queen, you're probably going to get beat up, shot, killed, or tortured in some way, shape, or form on this show.
And I think that the floor has to be open for a Dinah-Oliver relationship. I think that's where the producers want to go to repair the damage that they did the previous two seasons.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we'll get to that in the news.
All right, I'm looking forward to that. But before we get to the news, Chris, do you have anything else that we haven't talked about yet?
I'm very curious to see where it goes. At this point, I have no clue who Vigilante is. And that's my new mystery. I'm kind of going, who did they make be Vigilante? Have we met another character that this might be? And I'm going, I don't know. I got no clue.
Yeah, I'm actually changing the who is Prometheus to who is Vigilante and making a list for Vigilante. Because, hey, maybe somebody who was on the list for Prometheus is actually Vigilante.
Yeah, if I had to bet, I'd go either Tommy or Talia at this point in time. But, you know, that's just a wild guess because we really don't have anything to go on.
I also did like the fact that Roy at least got name dropped this week. We miss you, Roy. Come back.
Yeah, he could come back. He'd have to stop taking pictures for his Instagram, though. Dude takes about 10 a day.
They're on the CW. They all take tons of Instagram photos.
It's true. Michelle, what do you got left for the episode?
The end. Paul. Curtis was like, I gotta go. I'm gonna get Paul back. And then they're there in the restaurant. And he's like, honey, you know, we stopped the assassination. Can you believe we stopped the assassination? I've been like, oh, God, I miss you. And Paul's just like, yeah, I'm happy to see you, but, you know, slips him the papers, and I'm just like, my poor baby.
Yeah, Curtis is going through a divorce. I feel for you, buddy. I do. But it happens. So if there's anything we could do for you, Curtis, by the way, don't send T-spheres towards us. We'll help you make the T-spheres, but don't send them to us. We didn't do anything wrong. By the way, I don't know if T-spheres have the interdimensional travel capabilities, so us being over in Earth 2 might provide that safe distance.
He can just get Cisco to vibe them to us.
Oh, man! Why'd you have to give him that idea?
He's a smart dude. He probably already had an idea, is my guess.
Anyway, Curtis, please don't do it. We're in your corner, man. We're here for you. All right. So, next week, we have an off week from Arrow, but we don't have an off week from the Starling Tribune. And why is that, Michelle?
That is because next week, we are going to be covering the Legends of Tomorrow episode, Abominations. It's season 2, episode 4. It originally aired Thursday, November 3rd, 2016. In this episode, the Legends find themselves fighting for survival against Confederate zombies in the Civil War. And yes, I said Confederate zombies. It's directed by Michael Alowitz and written by Mark Guggenheim and Ray Utartichit.
In true Legends of Tomorrow fashion, this will be a fun episode to rewatch. I can't wait. We're going to get in to some Starling Tribune news. Chris, I'm going to throw it over to you to lead off. You have something over the Dinah-Oliver romance that we alluded to before.
That's right. There was an interview that Stephen Amell did with Entertainment Weekly that kind of addressed this. So Entertainment Weekly sets it up by saying, remember, Laurel died about a year ago. People were very committed to the thought that in canon, Black Canary and Green Arrow, they're a couple. They get married. They're off and on together. But pretty much, they're destined to be together. So a lot of people were wondering, is that going to happen now that we have Juliana Harkavy added as Dinah Drake, otherwise known as, you know, Black Canary? That doesn't mean there is going to be a Green Arrow Black Canary romance, however, because the show, remember, it doesn't really always follow the path that the comics does, because Prometheus is Vigilante in real life. Adrian Chase is Prometheus. Really strange stuff. But Stephen Amell did say in an interview, the idea that Oliver would end up with the Black Canary being Katie Cassidy or some new iteration thereof, to me, it could happen, it could not, but it's certainly not destined to happen or pre-designed to happen, Amell said in his interview. So, as far as he knows, there's no plan to link those two characters up. That does not mean it won't happen.
Yeah, I could see them waiting for the on-screen chemistry to either happen or not happen. They don't want to box themselves into a corner like they did before, and then they had to write out of it, but in writing out of it, they were in the show, so they got to tread lightly there. But at least they're leaving the door open for it, according to this. It's just not destined to happen. All right, Michelle, another thing that is needed to destined to be happening. I just butchered that all over the place, but it is a true four-way crossover into the Arrowverse, right?
Yes. For the next full-scale Arrowverse crossover, the creative forces behind the show are hoping to fully involve all four series, according to Andrew Kreisberg, an executive producer on each one of the shows. With early renewals, Kreisberg explained, the shows can take advantage of pre-planned off days in production to accommodate the cast members who are appearing on multiple shows in a short time, something that was particularly difficult last year with Supergirl, since series lead Melissa Benoist appeared in both a normal episode of her show and then as a guest on The Flash, Arrow, and Legends. Supergirl was the show we needed to shut down the most, and it was the one we didn't have any opportunity to do, Kreisberg said. So now we've gotten the early pickup and restarted designing the seasons. We're building in those dark days, and actually more dark days on Supergirl than the other shows to make it a little easier.
Yeah, I can tell that they're having problems bringing Supergirl over into CW and then bringing her into the Flareverse, but they needed to do it, and they just couldn't execute it. So I'm really hoping that the crossover leads the way to a more combined Flareverse, because putting Supergirl in the rest of the Flareverse, in my opinion, this is just SP's opinion, would actually increase ratings overall, but that's just my opinion. Chris, talking about Supergirl, we've been talking about this before, but I want more information on it. It is that great, vaunted, supposed to have happened reunion between Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher.
That's right. And I love it when they do little things like this in the Flare universe, where they do kind of a wink and a nod to the fact that, yes, this actor you're seeing now used to be a superhero in some other iteration. So Dean Cain's character, Jeremiah Danvers, returned to Supergirl last week. Terry Hatcher's already been confirmed to debut later this season as an unyet-specified villain. It doesn't take much to connect the dots and arise the natural question, will Supergirl feature an on-screen reunion between Kane and Hatcher? You know, the stars of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman that aired in 1993-97. Well, according to Andrew Kreisberg, we'd love to. There's a plan if we can execute the plan. So you could get this really cool Easter egg moment. And I, for one, would love to see it, because this show has been great about it, having Dean Cain in there as the adoptive father, having Helen Slater, who played Supergirl in the Supergirl movie, be Kara's adoptive mother. There's nice little touches like that. I love seeing stuff like that.
And don't forget, we had Wonder Woman as the president.
That's right. And if you go over into the Flash side of things, you've got John Wesley Shipp, who was the Flash in the earlier TV series, on there as Barry's father, and then as Jay Garrick later. It's really cool when they do those wink and nod things, because for fans, you're like, oh, I get it, that's awesome. And everyone else is like, oh, I just like this actor.
That's right, because you don't have to know the backstory to get the good episode that they're in. That's pretty cool.
Unless you watch that episode with one of us fans who look over and go, did you know he was Superman in an earlier series? I'm like, shut up. You told me 3 times already.
Go ahead, play with your phone for a while. I want to watch the episode. Exactly. Staying on Supergirl, Michelle, we do have something akin to Ace Reporter.
Supergirl taps iZombie star as potential DC villain. Raul Coley, who plays medical examiner Dr. Ravi Chakrabarti on the CW Zombies series, will play Jack Sphere, a charismatic tech genius who has spent decades working on a medical innovation that will eradicate major illnesses and change the face of the world, if it works. In the comics, Sphere's invention mutated him into the villain known as Biomax, who had the power of mind control. It's unclear if he will follow the same path. Coley will appear in episode 18 titled Ace Reporter, which executive producer Andrew Kreisberg recently revealed will heavily feature on Kara's journalism side. What? Kara? Kara's actually going to do her job?
Go figure.
We haven't seen her write a story in what? Like 6 weeks, 6 episodes, something like that. I mean, she handed one in, but it's always been like at the end of, oh, by the way, I got an interview with Supergirl and eyewitness reports and stuff like that. Here you go.
Yeah.
Well, that will be cool to see. And Chris, another thing that we've been following is the whole Talia al Ghul thing. Just what makes her as good of a badass as she is?
So we had Talia news and I had to take it because I have been saying since she first appeared that I love Talia al Ghul's appearance in Arrow. Well, Lexa, and I always mess up her last name, Dog? Is that how you say it? I always get it wrong regardless of what else she's been in. She did do an interview where she gave a little bit of information to CBR about how she makes Talia a badass, mentoring Oliver and her possible connections to Prometheus, and then teases a showdown with Nyssa. Arrow showrunners, if you're listening to us right now, make this happen. I would love to have a Nyssa and Talia showdown on Arrow. Look at me right now. Make it happen, please.
You know what would be better than fighting side by side?
Well, they got to get to that after they fight it all out.
Oh, okay.
That's the reconciliation.
It's going to be like, that's my black jacket. No, that's my black jacket. You took my jacket. Hey, that's my sword. No, that's my sword.
That's my ring. That's my ring. The ring is still out there, right?
True.
Who has the ring? Oliver has the ring, right?
They melted it down, I thought.
They did? Yeah. Well, they still have the metal. That's my ring metal.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see more Talia. Hopefully we'll get her next week. I think we, or the next episode, I think I did see that in the promo for the next episode. So can't wait. Michelle, we talked a lot about it in the episode, but let's hear it from the man himself, Prometheus, about his reveal.
Okay. So we're not the only one surprised that Adrian Chase is vigilante. Speaking to CBR and other reporters, Segarra, who plays Adrian Chase, opened up about his role as Prometheus and how he balanced Adrian Chase's two very different identities. He also shared some stories about how and when he learned about the big twist, as well as why he studied up on Vigilante before arriving in Vancouver. "I'm telling them," he said, "oh, I'm playing this guy. I don't really know too much about him, but who knows? It'll be fun, right?" And then they announced Adrian Chase, Vigilante, and I'm like, "oh my gosh, I'm playing Vigilante." So now I get to Vancouver and I think I'm playing this guy Vigilante. That's who everybody thought, right? So I started reading Vigilante comics and reading about Chase and reading about the history of these guys. Then I get to work and I'm suddenly talking to Mark and I'm like, "Mark, man, I'm really doing my research. I'm really being studious about this Vigilante guy." And he's like, "what do you mean?" And I'm like, "oh, dude, you announced it finally. I'm going to be a great Adrian Chase Vigilante." And he says, "that's not who you're playing." "What?" He's like, "yeah, you're playing this guy." And that's when they took me out on the city and they told me everything. So to put it this way, me and my wife and my doggie, who moved over to Vancouver thinking one thing, and it was revealed once I got here who I actually was playing. That whole journey began at that moment. That is hilarious.
Yeah, it's happened before. I've heard other stories, and I'm just trying to remember one off the top of my head, of somebody thinking that they're cast for one thing and then they're cast for another thing. It was, matter of fact, Michelle, it was the Supergirl panel with the two ladies up there, and that they didn't know who, was it one of them or was it somebody else? I can't remember now, but there are a lot of stories about somebody. Oh, The Walking Dead has a ton of them because they don't tell them who they're actually interviewing for. So, yeah. And unfortunately, I don't know. Is Vigilante a more seasoned character in the comics? Like, he has a role constantly. It's not just one little story, that it's actually in the comics a lot longer. I think maybe he was thinking in those terms.
Well, no, Vigilante in the comics is Adrian Chase with a backstory and the whole deal. So,
right.
You know, just like us, you know, Adrian Chase, Vigilante, even though other people were like, "hey, yeah, cool."
But my point is, Vigilante is a character in the comics that is like the Punisher over on the Marvel side, where he's actually in more than just one little string of stories. And in this particular case, he's Prometheus, which will probably be a villain that's taken care of by the end of the season. So that's it. He's out of a job. Whereas if he was Vigilante, he could have been in more of the DC TV universe.
Now he's going to be in the Legion of Doom. They're going to pluck him out of time and make him join the Legion of Doom.
Oh, I forgot they've got that too. Yeah.
Time travel, guys.
That is one thing I hope they stop. I love Malcolm Merlyn and John Barrowman and McDonough and everything, but it's like, can we just let them go? Like Frozen style?
You want them to let your people go?
Let my people go.
Okay, that's not where I was going. I was going with more like the, you know, whatever.
Let it. Yeah, I got it. I can't even say it without thinking of this stupid song.
Yeah. I don't want Disney to, like, come and kill me.
No, they won't kill you. They'll just sue you.
Okay, yeah. like, here's my lip balm, Disney. That's all I can give you. But yeah. I thought that was hilarious that even he didn't know. We're all fooled.
Yeah. I definitely was. I'm still processing. Hopefully in a couple of weeks, I'll be in a better mindset over it. In the meantime, Chris, we have the Arrow showrunner herself, Wendy Miracle, addressing Prometheus's identity as well.
That's right. The fine folks over at comicbookresources.com did an interview with Wendy Miracle where they pretty much said, why make Chase Prometheus instead of Vigilante? Her response was, I think one of the reasons we did that was because everyone would be thinking, of course he's Vigilante. Adrian Chase is Vigilante in the comic books, as you pointed out, and we thought it would be really fun sort of twist to do what we've always done on this show, which is to take the comic book mythology and turn it on its head and see what kind of story we could mine from a surprise like that. It was also just something different for this season. We wanted to change up how we introduced the big bad and change up when we did it and how we did it. Hopefully, we succeeded in that this year. So they purposely screwed with our heads. They actually had it planned out from day one. I saw in a separate interview, whereas when they had the murder of Sarah back in season 3, they didn't know who was going to be the killer until halfway through the season. They knew from day one Adrian Chase was going to be Prometheus.
They did say they were going to do a better job of planning their seasons this year. And I have to say, with all the shows, they have done that indeed. So, Michelle, you live tweet all the shows on the CW network, and you have a great time on Twitter. What is some of the great feedback that you've been getting?
Okay, so this week we had a three-way conversation.
Ooh, three-way.
Yeah. I tweeted out, Vigilante is not Prometheus, called it, because that's one of the things I did say is that they are not the same person. That is one of the things I was adamant about. There's Vigilante and there's Prometheus. So I got that right. Roy Phillips at Mad and It Roy, Mad Bandit Roy, there we go. But if Adrian's Prometheus, who's Vigilante? And then Karen at Smolovan Army, she was like, maybe Susan? And Roy said, it would make sense, but why expose Ollie? I tweeted back at both of them, we never got to find out what Susan planned to do with the info, which is true. Roy Phillips said, true, I'm just wondering what's Vigilante's motivation, and I think Adrian's not the real Adrian, in quotes. Yeah. And Carrie Ann said to both of us, yeah, it seems like there is something up with how he acts, mind control maybe. So I'm not the only one thinking that maybe, you know, this person who says he's Adrian Chase is the actual real Adrian Chase.
Yeah, it could be Grodd, you know, mind control.
Oh, man. You know what? I watched that two-parter, and all I kept thinking was, this would have been the perfect storyline for the crossover.
Mm-hmm. Well, it still can be, because Grodd hasn't gone anywhere. I won't spoil anything, but they didn't take care. Grodd is not dead, so there's always possibilities of bringing him back. So I guess it just did spoil something. Grodd is not dead, but they'd be stupid to kill him off anyway. And comics, even if they did, so go figure. So that's a lot of fun. If you want to catch Michelle tweeting live any of the shows, go to our Twitter account at Starling Tribune and Supergirl, Flash, Legends, Arrow. She's live tweeting them. Odds are, anyway, she's live tweeting them when the show airs every week. And it's the Eastern time airings too, right, Michelle?
Yes, Eastern.
Okay. All right. So, Chris, we are part of this great network of podcasts, and there's some other great content out there. Do you have anything you'd like to share that you've been listening to lately?
Yes, like SP mentioned, we are part of the Gunna Geek Network that you can find over at gunnageeknetwork.com. It's the home to a variety of different geeky and nerdy podcasts and video shows, and each week we try to highlight one specific show we've been listening to or that we just enjoy. And this week I want to talk to you guys about episode 31 of the Doom Ninja podcast. It's called Getting Greasy. This week, the crew talks about the newest upcoming Hearthstone expansion and Twitch dipping into selling games. They followed up with their thoughts on the Greek Riot Simulator, Oklos, everything is rounded out with a game dev studio update. And also, our friends over at the Doom Ninja podcast, they were running a contest. I think there's still like a day left on it, maybe two. If you tweet hashtag Doom Ninja podcast, you'll go in the running for a couple indie games they're giving away and a copy of Rice Son of Rome. So give those guys a tweet. Shout out to them. Tell them what you like about video games, what you've been enjoying about their podcast. And when you're done with that, head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com and check out some of the other great podcasts that make up the network. But I think that is going to start wrapping us up, guys. Thank you to everyone who did participate in the Geeks.live chat or watched us over on Geeks.live or Diamond Club TV. Thank you to everyone who downloads the episodes, listens to them later, and of course, everyone who consumes them through the Gunna Geek YouTube channel.
If you happen to be listening to this later, come and join us Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and tell everybody else to join us as well. Jump on in the chat and harass us as we record our episode. I just want to say thank you very much for downloading the episode and listening to us or watching us on YouTube. And thanks very much to our editor, Chris, who produces the live version of the show and the video show.
You can watch the next live show on the Gunna Geek Network over on Geeks.live. The next live show on the network is Better Podcasting, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate all those five-star reviews. And like us on Facebook and YouTube and badger us on Twitter. You can find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, where you can check out our forums and other shows. If you want, you can share your thoughts. Head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283.
That was a great episode, guys, and I think that about wraps it up for the week. Any last words before we sign off? At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag Prometheus is Chase.
At Michelle Ely.
Hashtag Paul Y.
Oh. And I'm at Stargate Pioneer on Twitter, and I'll end with hashtag, should I even be in the room? Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.